Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar's on the line with us this morning. He is a Wednesday regular with us here on this program. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website, floordaily.net. Good morning, Kemp. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Dave.
I'm doing great, and I hope you are, too.
Oh, definitely.
Now, let me tell our listeners, we're recording this on Friday because you are off to Chersai. Over the weekend? You're going to be at the show all next week.
That's right, and for those who don't know what that is, that's the it's in Italy. It's in Bologna, Italy, which is, the upper part of the country, kind of in the middle, and about an hour outside of Florence, and I'm going there because, I guess it's the biggest ceramic tile show in the world, and, the reason that it's the biggest is because the Italians have been experts in making tile for quite some time. And interestingly enough, some people might not know this, but in this country, if you look at the dollars, the dollar value of all the ceramic tile sold, over 60% of the imports into the United States comes from Italy. So certainly, that's been changing, and it's dropped off a little bit from where it's been, thanks to some pressure from China, and also thanks to the fact that some of the big companies that are in Italy have started to manufacture in this country. But anyway, they when it comes to ceramic tile, they are kind of on the edge when it comes to fashion and forward looking and some of the neat things they've been able to do, especially in the area of making a man-made product look like a natural product.
Yeah, and in essence, have been on the front end of that forever, I guess.
That's right. Apparently, if you look back at the history, apparently when after World War II, when they were reindustrializing and rebuilding, we in this country sold to Italy the rights or some patents and processes we licensed to the country, and I think it's called a rolling hearth process. But anyway, they perfected that process and became leaders in the marketplace.
How about that? And this is your first time at that show.
It sure is. Yeah.
I want a full report when you get back.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to it.
That'll be interesting. And besides, I suspect you're going to catch some nice restaurants in the while you're there as well.
Well, I've been warned by several people that I need to take my elastic waisted breeches along. But, I'm not really one to like to, overeat. So, but it might be a tasty change.
Well, I'll be looking forward to a report after and hope you have a good time.
Okay, appreciate it.
And I'll be anxious to hear about all the show as well, and I'll ask you about that in about a week.
Okay, sounds good. We'll also be, we're covering the show for the magazine, so we'll be writing an article in the magazine about it.
Very good, very good. Well, over here, I guess everybody's probably aware of what's been happening in the housing arena and I guess in consumer spending in general, and it was a little bit of good news that came out last week. That being construction spending on the non-residential side. Overall, construction spending was off, but the non-residential part offset it. It was up by 1.6%. That's for the month of August. And especially a lot of money spent in the hotel and office arena. So I suspect that makes a lot of players out there in this business pretty happy.
Yeah, thank goodness for the commercial side of the business. We've talked about how weak the residential side of the business is. So it is good that the commercial is offsetting, and I guess the most of the spending is happening in hotels and offices, and then in some of these big municipal projects. So that's the biggest reason that you're seeing the increase.
Well, let's just hope that we continue to see that going forward. Kemp, let me jump in here. We're running a little bit long. Need to take a short break. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. You know, Kemp, another interesting thing, we were talking about housing a little bit earlier and looking again at the housing market and the economy in general. Two major retailers last week issued some guidance. Lowe's and Target pulled their earnings down for this year, and I think that's reasonably significant, I think. Walmart had adjusted their guidance a little bit earlier, and I think people were looking, well, that's perhaps focused more on the Walmart type of consumer reacting to high gasoline prices, etc. But I think with Lowe's and Target adjusting their earnings guidance, I think that's significant and probably not really positive news.
You know, I saw that, and you know, one comment is you know, certainly, you know, I think last week ran the story about consumer sentiment being off, and mm-hmm. and that's, you know, that's down lower than it's been in several years. And but I had to chuckle when I saw the Lowe's report. You know, one of the things I used to do a long time ago was I used to write some of these stock forecast updates when I was working for a public company, and it looks like Lowe's has pulled the book off the shelf, and you know, there's couple of pages that you can blame all this on, and there's a short list. You know, it's either the weather or the war or the economy or the competitive pressure or the consumer sentiment, or, you know, and when you read the Lowe's, when they're talking about their prior, the lower expectations versus prior guidance, they're blaming it on the weather.
Well, it was sort of interesting, though. I guess they do sell an awful lot of plants and garden-related things. I had never thought about it before, but I suspect that that doesn't help a good deal. But they also lowered guidance for 2008. Obviously, that's not the weather.
No, that's right.
And I think there was, I don't have it right in front of me here, but there was a, in fact, there was a comment made by the, I think it was either the president, I think it was Niblock, the chairman and CEO of Lowe's, and he was asked what his thoughts were about the housing industry coming back, and he said that he just wasn't going to wager a guess, and I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said the only thing that he had noted that has really been interesting was the fact that all of the prognostications that have come from experts have all been wrong. So he certainly wasn't going to wager a guess at this point.
Right, and you know, I don't know where I heard this, but I know Warren Buffett had kind of chimed in on an estimate, and he was saying that he was thinking that the good recovery was going to be in 09, so you know, all the way through to the end of 08. So that's one indicator we've heard.
It seems like that's where the smart money is at this point.
Right.
I've asked a lot of people on this program, and about the earliest that I've seen in terms of housing is towards the end of next year, and I think some folks are thinking that perhaps some of the replacement market may be back before then, or at least start its way back before then, everything being equal.
I would say the replacement segment, we might see some of that you know, before too long. But you know, when you look at a 10-month, if houses sell at the current rate they're selling at right now, and builders don't build another house, there's a 10-month supply out there, and so that's a lot of housing to eat through before you know, before we can start building more houses.
That's exactly right. So, in terms of housing, no time soon are we going to see some shifts. It seems to me. Let me change the subject. We got about a minute before we need to take a break. This was a piece that we ran on the website. I think it was last week. And surfaces are the trade show for this industry had been named one of the fastest growing trade shows by Trade Show Week magazine, and I thought that was pretty significant.
That is significant. And that's a Hanley Wood show, and you know, we talked last year, their attendance was off, but just slightly off, just a little bit, and yet despite that, you know, they've been pegged as one of the top 50 in their growth, and I think that's looking at several things. It's attendance, total square footage, and number of exhibitors, I think.
Right, exactly. And they were up, it said here that the show grew from 912 exhibiting companies, and I guess that was in I don't know the exact years here. I think we're looking at 2005 versus...
No, they were...
2004, that's what it was. Uh-huh. 912 in 2004, and they were up to 1,063 exhibiting companies, and they increased the square footage as well.
In 06, so that's, in another, 06. That's another reason the 07 numbers weren't a factor. But the interesting thing, there's 13,000 trade shows out there. To be in the top 50... And to be, you know, the leading show for the residential piece of this flooring business, that says something.
Well, it's a sizable show, and certainly, Hanley Wood took over the show from the WFCA, and the next thing you know, before they hardly have done anything, the two majors in this industry pulled out.
Right.
So they certainly have done a heck of a job, I would think. Building that show, in fact, I think it's bigger now than it was before. It's a totally different show, really, the nature of it, because the two majors are not there.
The three majors. Armstrong's not there.
Armstrong,
either.
Too, yes. Yeah. But yeah. But of course, Shaw and Mohawk, you know, they were the big players there.
Yeah.
And of course, now they're doing their own thing, and I think everybody has gained from all this.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's take a break here.
Okay.
We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This morning we're talking with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. As we're speaking right now, as a matter of fact, we're recording this on Friday, and when we're airing this program, the Kemp group will be over there in Italy attending Trasai, the major ceramic tile show. So we're recording this on Friday. We're reviewing some of the news that's been occurring in this business over the last couple of weeks, really. One piece of news, and I think, Kemp, every week we've talked something about intellectual property as it relates to the hard surface business. It seems like there's been a lot of news, a lot of litigation, and Valanga has announced that they have launched a new locking system. This system is called G5 Plus. Now, I can't tell you that I know exactly what G5 was, or 5G, I should say, but evidently, because of a decision made by the European Patent Office that was not in favor of Valanga, they decided to launch this new technology a little bit early. And I think that certainly is going to make it interesting, and I suspect that we'll be seeing this from some of the U.S. Producers here before all is said and done.
Yeah, and I read the story and really couldn't figure out exactly. I mean, it is a locking system, and it's one that you can lock and unlock, and it's compatible and works with the current 5G system, but with that, until you can actually get a demonstration, I really couldn't tell what the new benefit was.
Well, nor can I, but I know that there is a device that is that when a company does license this, they get this piece of machinery that goes into their production equipment, and I think they have to tweak that a bit. And that same piece of equipment will work on this as a little movable part in this hinge. I've seen it, but I certainly couldn't tell you a whole lot about it.
Well, one of the things it does say is that it's apparently in the installation with this new process, there's you can make assemble them without putting pressure in an area that made it harder to install before, I think. So this must be an easier way to install the product.
I think you can take it apart and put it back together a little bit easier, too, than some of the earlier versions. And it's interesting how many different patents there have been issued in this business. I think just the week before last, we talked about one from Armstrong.
Right.
And I'd like to see them all lined up here. I can see one from another and see what they look like.
Yeah. So this must have been, you know, sometimes you can't ever tell when you read the news what the reason behind the news is, but this must have been one of the reasons that Vilanji formed that intellectual property separate company. Remember we talked about that.
Right.
6 weeks or so ago.
Right. Well, and I think then they've been doing this, I can't tell you how many years, close to 10 years, I think, been pumping out this, you know, these various inventions that they've come up with revolving around the floor.
Right.
So this is one more, and I wonder what else they've got on the drawing board there.
I'm interested to see it surfaces, who's using this new 5G Plus, and whether or not they'll call it that, or whether they'll have their own name for it.
Well, that's probably going to be their name, and we, you know, we did video at the last Surfaces,
right?
And we had Darko Pavon, who is the CEO, president CEO at Valinga, and they had one of the pieces of equipment right there in their stand, and he allowed us to come in, and we shot that and saw how it worked and all the moving parts, and it was pretty interesting. So I suspect they'll be doing that again. And I would encourage anybody going to Surfaces to get in that Valinga stand and see how this stuff looks. It's really interesting.
It is. And, you know, that locking system is a key part of what makes a floating floor perform. So, I mean, you certainly want it, when you click it together, you want it to stay together.
Well, especially since, if anybody remembers back to the glue days, when laminate first came over to the U.S., you had to glue it together. And looking back, that was pretty much a mess.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. Kent Parr is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're recording this on last Friday, and that's because Kemp is in Italy at CERSAI, the ceramic tile show. We're looking back at some of the events of last week and before. And one major event, Kemp, for this past week has been Solutia readying itself to get out of bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's definitely some good news, and it's good to see it because we've been watching this whole tar baby or this whole mess with Monsanto for quite some time, and so it looks like they've just about worked out their differences with Monsanto and have come up with a plan that satisfies the bondholders and Monsanto and all the parties involved.
And you know, an interesting part of this, which is probably pretty unusual for a company in bankruptcy, is Solutia has gained a lot of strength. I mean, it's a bigger and a more powerful company now than it was when it went into bankruptcy nearly 4 years ago.
I know it. You know, they're even calling themselves in some of their releases the chemical and window film company. So, you know, it's interesting how they're positioning themselves.
That's interesting. Only a marketing guy like you would say that.
Well, they've come up with some. I just happened to look at something the other day. They've come up with some film you can put on glass.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, with all these storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and everything, it prevents the glass from shattering when it's hit by a blunt object. I mean, it still cracks and everything like that, but it doesn't. It's like safety glass for house windows.
It doesn't shatter.
Right.
Yes. Well, this is a long involved solution to the whole bankruptcy situation, and of course, as I mentioned, the company really has gotten stronger since it's been in bankruptcy, and that's in essence because the items that drove the company into bankruptcy in the first place involved some of the legacy retiree benefits, environmental cleanup, and other things. I guess a lot of tort litigation related to that, that it had sort of had put on its shoulders as a result of being spun off by Monsanto. That was back in 1997, I believe.
That's right. I mean, apparently, for those, I'm sure there's a lot of people who knows better than me, but apparently when Monsanto and, is it Pharmacia?
Pharmaca, I think it is.
Pharmaca and Upjohn, when they got together, they decided to spin off the chemical division and called it Solution. And so, and then from then on, there have been these issues around the retiree benefits and some of the environmental cleanup related to back when, they were part of Monsanto.
Right, and they were saddled with a great deal of that. Many think a lot more than they should have been in the first place.
And it looks like Monsanto just wants to be clear of it, because they've made, in this last release, looks like they've made some concessions that look like about $125 million concession on the value of some of this stuff.
Well, I think that it was a masterful job, and I know they've been, I can remember some of the some of the stories that were issued between the bankruptcy being filed and now, and they've come up with some pretty creative solutions, it seems to me, over the course of this 4 years of bankruptcy. So hats off to them, and it's good to see this happening.
Well, I mean, they continue to be in this business, on the soft side of this business, they continue to be a major player.
Exactly right.
Nylon 66, they have a residential brand called Wear Dated, and on the commercial side, their Ultron brand, and they continue to build themselves to the design community with their annual DOC awards, and they're still a major player in this business.
That's exactly right. So hats off to everybody at Solutia. Very good news. Let me take a break here. Kemp Parr is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're looking back at the events of the last couple of weeks with Kemp Parr, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. Another piece of news since we've been on the air here, Kemp, is Fomex. Fomex has decided to sell their standalone carpet cushion facility. They're going to remain in the business. It's the standalone operation, which I guess they said was a non-core component of the company in the first place, will be spun off, and that will be spun off to Future Foam for about $10
million. Yeah, this whole cushion business has been interesting to watch in the last couple of years. With a lot of upholstered furniture being moved over to China, they have lost their feedstock of foam scraps that they use to make Rebond. And as less and less upholstered fabrics being made in this country, there's less and less of those foam scraps that they can use in the process to make Rebond. And I think everybody is aware of the fact that last year the price of Rebond almost doubled. And,
right.
It looks like that, with less of the scrap material that that they use to make the product, this is an effort to downsize and have enough manufacturing to run what they're able to get from a scrap standpoint.
Yeah, they can manufacture their own now from the scrap that they produce.
Right.
Exactly. So, and again, I mean, it's another change. We're seeing lots of changes of this order in this business and every business, for that matter. So that's interesting, and I suspect we may see some more changes. We've seen a lot of changes in Fomex over the last several years. We may see some more. Let me change the subject here, Kemp. The CRI, the Carpet and Rug Institute, has expanded on its seal of approval program, and I think we've talked about that several times over the years here. The seal of approval program covers basically cleaning chemicals, vacuum cleaners, and carpet cleaning systems.
Right.
And they've now expanded into green additives, and I think what's happened is, and this is for the chemical operation and the vacuum cleaner end of this seal of approval program as well, and that's primarily, I think, from demand from the marketplace. They wanted to see a certification for more environmentally responsible chemicals and machinery.
Yeah, I saw that, and you know, I got to say, one part of that, you know, is certainly this this area around vacuum cleaners. You know, it's interesting to know that many of you, I'm sure, do. But this, you know, the fact that the Carpet and Rug Institute actually tests the performance of vacuum cleaners and issues a certificate, if you will, if it you know, does a good job, and they use that technology from NASA. To monitor and test how much soil is removed from the carpet by the vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
XRF technology.
So X-ray fluorescence. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I guess it was. You know, this is a little bit old news, but it's you know, science that was invented by the space program. They use to test vacuum cleaners to see whether or not it removes the dirt from the carpet.
Exactly, and, exactly.
You know, just I think 6 weeks or so ago, a Consumer Reports magazine came out, and it was talking about the performance of vacuum cleaners. And interestingly enough, you know, the vacuum cleaner that did the best is by far not the most expensive vacuum cleaner. And I thought that was very interesting. You know, you can spend $600 or $700 on a vacuum cleaner, but the one that actually A, cleans the carpet better, B, doesn't tear up the carpet, and C, also doesn't throw the dust back into the room, is one that costs about $170. So you know, that's I think that was both quantified by Consumer Reports, but also it backed up what CRI had already determined.
Kemp, we need to pause here, get some messages in. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Kemp, getting back to the vacuum cleaner conversation we were having in the previous segment, many might ask, what the heck is the CRI, the Carpet and Rug Institute, doing testing cleaning apparatus? Basically, this whole seal of approval program was launched the result of a survey of consumers, and the top of the mind of consumers is having clean carpet. And so that's why they started out with these pre-sprays, and now are going all the way to cleaning systems.
Oh, and you know, one of the things that they, here's an institute that produces a product, and then other people in other businesses, you can call them either a small appliance business or a chemical business. You know, they produce these products that are designed by P&G or whoever to maintain this product. And you know, one of the things they were, when they first started this program, was that some of the products that were out there didn't clean any better than water.
Yes.
And not only that, they some of these stain removers, spray-on removers, they left a soap residue. So in 2 weeks, you had, you know, a worse mess than you started.
So it actually did more harm than good.
That's right. So that, I think that's the reason they formed it. And you know, the hats off to CRI for understanding that. If the consumer has a way of seeing what works versus what doesn't work, they're going to be happier with the carpet they've got installed in their home.
Well, and you know, and that whole process And I know we had Warner Braun, the president of the CRI, on this program several times over the months. And early on with the pre-spay program, a major player in that business had their product tested, and as you mentioned, it didn't perform as well as water. They went out, changed the formula,
right,
and came back, and it passed. And I think that same situation has happened with vacuum cleaners and with systems as well.
Yeah, even the truck mounted systems, they've gone in and tested. You know, these companies that pull up and park right out front, side your front
right,
door.
The truck mounts, yes.
Exactly, and they've even tested those, and they've ranked those in a good, better, best system, so that you know, if you're calling Sears or whoever it is that's going to come clean your carpets, you can tell whether or not they're gold certified or not.
That's right, and now this includes more environmentally, higher performing from an environmental standpoint with this with the green label aspect of the Seal of Approval program. Incidentally, too, the next stage for the Seal of Approval program, and I think one of the things that's been needed all along, is a way to promote this, a way to bring this to consumers. And I think the CRI is presently working with organizations, hotel chains, and others to make these things available to them. Let them know, and their associations are working with their members to ensure that they do these, or I guess purchase this equipment that is more environmentally responsible. So that's the next step, and I think that's going to bring the fact that these companies have gone and have received this certification to the minds of their customers, and I think that's going to increase sales.
Yeah, and we might want to mention, if anybody wants to get more information on this whole green label thing, you can go to the CRI website, which is carpet-rug.org.
Exactly right.
They've got a whole green label section on their site.
Let me ask you a question here before we run out of time. We're just about out of time. The last time we had you on here, you talked about a display competition,
oh, yeah,
I think,
yeah,
that you did. How's that going anyway?
I appreciate you bringing that up. We've gotten several, we're getting entries in. Let me explain what it is real quick. We're doing in our November issue, October issue should be in the mail here fairly soon. But we already started working on our November issue, and we're doing a very neat idea. We're merchandising is such a key part of success at retail, because all the surveys point that a lot of people will walk into a store and they may have some preconception on what they're going to buy, but they'll actually make the decision on what they buy in the store almost 60% of the time. And so that means that the displays, or the way that the product is shown in the store, can be very critical to, you know, what the consumer ends up buying. So we're doing a contest, and we're asking retailers to send us photographs of the retail display that they're the happiest with. And we've got a guy who's super qualified, and a couple other judges. We've actually got three judges, but we'll get into who they are at another time. But anyway, we've got three very qualified judges, and so they're going to judge these. We're going to pick a winner. The winner's going to win $1,000, and then we're going to run a story about it in the magazine. So the deadline for entry is October 5th, and you can go to our website, floordaily.net, and go to the Floor Focus section, and click on the banner ad there that describes it, and send your material in that way.
I'll be anxious to see who wins.
Okay. Should be good.
Okay, Kemp. Always a pleasure. We'll see you in 1 week from today.
All right, Dave. See you when we get back.
You got it. Have
okay.
A good trip.
All right, thanks.
We've been talking with Kemp Hari. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, and this is Floor Radio.